exciting hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Really rather not have any more questions about, is it okay to lose this game? It's never okay to lose a game.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
I am the champ that runs the camp. Showtime! Woo!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, here's Tom Abraham.
And I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
I was asked to leave the building. I asked why. And he said, guys, well, you have to leave because someone ordered you to leave. And I'm like, I've been here 4.5 minutes. I'm a Knicks fan. I played here for 10 years. I love the Knicks. I love New York. They say, I know 7-8 guys. More and more kept coming at me. And I'm like, why do I have to leave? They said, I have to leave. And they got ordered.
Why do I have to leave? They said, I have to leave. Yeah, I'm sure it was that simple. Hey, look, it's Charles Oakley. Get out of here! I'm sure that's the way the whole thing went down. Welcome back. Hour number two, Tom Abraham Show. Let's go up there. John Schmelk covers the Knicks for CBS Sports Radio in New York at the Fan there, WFAN, and he joins us now. John, welcome back. How are you, man?
Tom, the chaos continues. How are you?
Listen, James Dolan shouldn't have asked for Oakley to be removed. He should have given him a jersey, told him to get his ass out on the court. That's what he ought to do.
Well, I guarantee you can't play any defense worse than the guys they have out there.
Exactly. I'm just saying. He looks in pretty good shape, though, the Oak man, doesn't he? I mean, he looks like he takes care of himself.
Well, I think there's a reason they send 8 or 9 guys to get him out there and not 2.
Yeah, exactly. He talked about having to brace himself once all the guys started getting around. It's like he was boxing out or something, getting ready to box out a bunch of little short, you know, bald cops, the security cops, trying to get him off the trying to get him out of there. Is there any word yet as to exactly what was going on or what he was? He had to say something. Obviously, they're not going to just say, "Hey, Charles Oakley, get out of here." You know, I mean, there's something was going on.
Hey, well, you played part of Oakley's soundbite. He did an interview up here on the ESPN radio affiliate with Stephen A. Smith, and you know, he talked about how he's been to the Garden before. And security follows him around. They tell him, don't, you know, go where you're not supposed to go, out of your seating area. So he seems to, you know, think or be under the impression that, you know, they kind of have their eyes on him, whether he does anything or not. Now, there are other sources of good reporting by Ian Begley, Mark Berman, Frank Isola, that some eyewitnesses in the area, police sources and fans in the section did say he was, you know, very vocal and very loud. So who knows what was said? Only Oakley and the guys down there know. Maybe they'll have a recording on what he said. Who knows? But just for it to come to that, I mean, it's embarrassing. For a guy that's been with the organization for 10 years but has to get thrown out of the building, it's embarrassing for the Knicks. And frankly, it's embarrassing for Oakley too. So it's just a real ugly scene in a year that has been filled with ugliness for the Knicks.
Yeah, only when it couldn't get any worse do you have this. And be interesting to see what Phil Jackson's tweeting about it today, if he's tweeting at all. But having said that, and I'm not a James Dolan fan, but man, Oakley couldn't have had an easier landing, a softer landing than Stephen A. Smith. Did Stephen A., did he press him at all on, come on, you had to say something. They didn't just walk up to you and say, leave.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, no. He asked them, do you regret anything that you did and how you handled it? Did you say anything? You know, were you disruptive at all? Have you been told by the Knicks not to go to the Garden before because your relationship with Dolan? He asked Oakley all the questions, and then Charles Oakley basically said, look, I bought a ticket. I showed up to the game. I didn't say anything, and I got harassed for no reason. So, you know, who knows who's true? It's he said, she said, but look. It's embarrassing, and the Knicks just can't get out of their own way, whether it's PR or basketball.
Yeah. Did and is it true that they did not acknowledge him when they did their 70th year anniversary deal and the great players and all that kind of stuff, that they didn't even acknowledge the 10 years he played there and what his contribution was to some really good teams?
Yeah, no, I mean, they basically haven't recognized anything he's done for the Knicks in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. He's been kind of persona non grata over there. So clearly there's an issue. And then Oakley also said that he would love to, you know, make up with James Dolan. He apparently tried to shake his hand at the All-Star game in 2014. James Dolan refused to shake his hand. He wants to make up so he can be part of the organization and be part of the team. But he says the Knicks want no part of it. So clearly there's some long-standing issue here between Oakley and the Knicks. He has been critical of them in the past. So I guess that's the bottom line, is that he's just really not part of the culture there at the Garden anymore. And unfortunately, you know, Patrick Ewing isn't exactly, you know, he's not persona non grata, but he's also hasn't been treated great from time to time either by the Knicks going back the last few years.
Oakley was upset with the comments from the Knicks statement last night that said he's a great Knick and we hope he gets help soon. And, you know, so that made him look like he's a loon. Today the Knicks released another statement this afternoon saying dozens of security staff employees and NYPD witnessed Oakley's abusive behavior. It started when he entered the building, continued until he was arrested and left the building. Everything he has said since the incident is pure fiction. So it's just getting uglier. And Phil, you know, the Zen Buddhist, he can't broker any peace. I mean, he coached this guy. Obviously, you know, you would think he has a fondness for Charles Oakley, and maybe this goes to Phil's lack of control over anything, where he can't even broker a little bit of peace between his the owner and one of the Knick legends.
Yeah, apparently Phil actually did try to go back into the hallway after the altercation to try to calm Charles Oakley down. And you know, the thing about it too, and this is another issue. We've seen Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul both tweet today mentioning how, you know, it's terrible to see an organization treat a guy that's been playing there for 10 years. So I also think it reflects bad with current NBA players on the organization that, you know, you're going to go out there, you're going to treat a former player like Oakley like this, and then your general manager, Phil Jackson, is going to go out there and, you know, tweet criticisms of your best player. Why, if you're a player in the NBA, would you want to go to a team where they treat their players like this, and their best player like Carmelo Anthony? So it's just a bad look, and it's not helping anybody.
Is there anything that saves this organization short of James Dolan selling this team?
You know what? I honestly think, to a certain extent, James Dolan has given Phil Jackson autonomy. I'm sure, you know, he gives him his opinion and everything, but I think Phil has been able to kind of do what he wants. The problem is that Phil has not done a good job when he's done what he wants. So if Phil Jackson was better at this, I think they'd actually be in pretty good shape. Unfortunately, he's not a very good general manager. Spare Kristaps Porzingis and Willie Hernangómez. He really hasn't done a very good job in talent acquisition here. So I think you can survive with Dolan as the owner. He wants to, you know, he will spend money. He wants to win. If he empowers the right person, I think it could work. But the problem is that when he's empowered people, he's empowered the wrong people. And when he's had competent people like Donnie Walsh, he's micromanaged them. So he just hasn't been able to get the formula right.
It does seem, John Schmuck with us from New York City, from The Fan in New York City, covers the Knicks. It does seem that the vitriol used to all be pointed at Dolan, and then Phil came in, and then there's that honeymoon period. But it seems to me, from a distance monitoring it, that more is pointed now at Phil, right? I mean, you know, you got guys like Spike Lee saying, "I'll pack Phil's bags," and these other things. So is Phil take more heat than Dolan now?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But Phil's out there more. He's the one that's making these decisions. They made a big deal about saying how he has full autonomy. And Phil Jackson now is about 50 games under 500 since the Knicks have been president, maybe even more than that. I haven't tallied it the last couple of weeks as they keep losing games. He's had about three different rosters over those three different periods of time. He's reset this process three different times. He keeps changing directions. He can't set on a path for this team. And, yeah, he's going to heat. And when you go out there and you criticize your star player, you know, with all Carmelo Anthony's flaws, he still doesn't deserve, you know, Jackson's, you know, veiled criticisms of the media, his tweets, and all that stuff. It's not right what he's doing. And I think what Jackson's done is actually made Knicks fans look more favorably on Carmelo than they did before he started doing these things in the media.
Do you feel like you can win with Melo? I mean, other than winning a national championship at Syracuse, 14 years in the NBA, you know, he's had this reputation as a black hole when it comes to shooting and so on. He was 10 of 20 from the field last night at 28 points to lead the Knicks. But is he a guy that you still feel like they can win with it, or do they have to figure out a way to move him?
Look, I don't think they can win with him now because I think he's on the wrong side of 30. He's 32. The Knicks are a long way away from competing. They should be building a young team around Kristaps Porzingis. Now, that's going to take some years now. They're going to be bad for a few more years. Porzingis isn't ready to carry the load. He's not good enough yet. He's still learning. He's still growing. But you know what? That's fine. And that's why they shouldn't have re-signed Melo 3 years ago, because the Knicks were never going to be on the same timetable as him in terms of winning. So I think it's in the best interest of the organization to move him, get back some future assets for him. But it's going to be hard because, A, Bo Jackson's put a huge neon sign outside the Garden saying we're desperate to move this guy. And then he kills him in the media. So why are these other teams going to give up anything of value for the guy when the general manager kills him in the media and they know he's desperate to move him? So he has orchestrated this whole situation terribly. If the Knicks are smart, they wait to the offseason, maybe even hire a new president or GM between now and then let the new guy orchestrate a trade for Anthony in the offseason, when it'll be easier to move him, when teams have more cap space, so it's easier to match up contracts.
That was the thing that blew my mind. We had Bo Estesen yesterday. He joins us every Wednesday to talk hoop, and I didn't understand a guy who was pretty smart guy, you know, in Phil Jackson. If you're trying to trade a guy and somebody writes a negative piece about the guy, how you don't come out and say, you know what, we just haven't been able to put the right teammates around him. This is a guy that can win, blah, blah, blah. If you're trying to move the guy, you pump the guy up. You don't sit here and say, well, yeah, that guy had it just about right. This guy here is, he just doesn't want it. Oh, by the way, does anybody want to give me anything for him? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it's asinine. There is no logical explanation to explain that behavior. It's counterproductive. It's foolish. It's stupid. It's unprofessional, to be quite honest with you. I mean, how many GMs, you know, tweet veiled criticisms and leak articles to writers to kill guys? I mean, it's really bizarre behavior, and it doesn't make a lick of sense. Look, we know Carmelo's flaws. He stops more on offense too much. He's a poor defensive player. He's maybe not the best leader. All those things, they're fair criticisms. That's fine. But to his credit, he has shown loyalty to New York. He wants to be here. And for Jackson to do this to him and say the things publicly that he said is unprofessional, and it's frankly counterproductive in helping the Knicks get a good return if he does in fact really want to trade him. Unless Anthony told him, and this is the only thing that makes sense. If Anthony has told him, I will not under any circumstance waive my no trade clause, maybe Jackson's trying to treat him so poorly that he decides he can't stay here anymore. That's the only possible explanation.
Yeah, and John Schmuck with us from The Fan in New York. This, look, I've never questioned Melo's desire to win and desire to be a Knick. This is a New York guy. This is his team growing up. He's born in New York City. I mean, I think he would love nothing more than to, they haven't been able to put the right, crew around him. I don't know, the deal looked crazy when they brought in Derrick Rose. Is it too soon to judge that deal, as well as to, you know, bringing in Derrick Rose, whether or not he was the right guy to bring in there?
Well, I just wrote the story today. To me, it's even more imperative you trade Derrick Rose than you trade Carmelo Anthony, because if free agent after the year, I don't think under any circumstances you can give him a long-term contract, given his injury history and his flaws as a player, which, by the way, are largely the same as Carmelo Anthony's. He's not a great passer. He's not a great three-point shooter. Anthony is, but he's also a terrible defensive player. So I would never, ever in a million years give Derrick Rose a big-money long-term contract, which is what he wants this offseason. So you move him now. You're not going to get a whole lot back from him. Even if you only get a couple second-round picks, it's better than having him walk away after the season. So I think the Knicks would be best served to move on from Derrick Rose in the next couple of weeks.
What about Joakim Noah? What's going on with that guy? How long will he be out? And what's the future of him? He's another guy that was actually born in New York, just a year younger than Melo. But what's the future for him?
Albatross. There's really no other word to use for him. Yeah. Anybody that watched him the last 2 years knew it was an awful signing when they signed him this offseason to a 4-year, $72 million contract. He's pretty washed up. He's not a really good defensive player anymore. He still can't score. He can't hit free throws. They'll be stuck with him for the next 3 years at $18 million per year. And
my gosh.
I don't think there's any team in the NBA that's going to want to trade for him because he really doesn't have much left in the tank, and that's unfortunate.
My goodness gracious almighty. Good work if you can get it, right? $55 million. Yeah, $55 million to basically play out the string at 31 years old. I mean, you know, really didn't have to be that way necessarily. He's a guy who's always, you know, conditioned well, but you wouldn't think it would come out that way. I you know, you're talking like this is like when I talk to my guys in Philly about the Sixers and whether they can ever be. This is what this feels like now. This feels like it's just perpetual, that it's just going to go on and on and on and on, you know, short of, you know, if they had gotten figured out a way to get LeBron there. Maybe that would have made a difference. We saw what he did, you know, turning around a Cleveland team. They're not going to get Kevin Love out of Cleveland. That would be ridiculous for them to do that. So I don't know. I'm not feeling much hope here for the Knicks.
All right. I'm going to flash some optimism for you. All right. And I know it's contrary to everything I've said so far. Here's the thing. If they can get something for Anthony in a trade, like, you know, one young piece and a first round pick, the Knicks actually own all their first round picks for the foreseeable future. You give Phil Jackson credit for that. He hasn't traded away any draft picks. You have a young cornerstone in Kristaps Porzingis. You have another young big man in Willie Hernangómez who's playing pretty well. You have a couple other young veterans on the team, Justin Holiday, who's, you know, showed something here or there. I think Courtney Lee is a solid role player. If you want to deal him for a pick, you can do that, or you can build around him. They actually have some good future pieces and all their draft picks. So I don't think the future is necessarily very dim, but they have to move on from this current set of veterans, Melo, Rose, Noah, if they can, by some miracle, move on from him and build for the future with young guys and use your free agent money wisely on young veterans that'll grow with Porzingis. And then maybe you keep moving this year, you get a top five pick, it's a great draft, you get your point guard of the future, and then you're off and you're running. So there's my optimism for the day.
Well, you know, they looked decent last night for the most part. You know, I mean, they must beat a team that's been hammering them forever, it seems like, the Clippers. And, you know, for the beginning of the season, they were playing well. Even at 500, you know, you're well within the playoffs. If you're playing 500, the Bulls are, what, 26 and 27, and they're, you know, they're right now in the seventh seed. So it's like, if you can just, they're 500 at home, they're 9-18 on the road. If they could just figure out a way to win a few games, you're only a good week and a half away from being back in the mix for that eighth and final spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that says more about the Eastern Conference than it says about the Knicks. I think they're about two games away from the fourth worst record in basketball and two games away from the eighth seed. So this season can go either way very, very quickly if you're the Knicks. And you're right, they're not that far from the playoffs. But quite frankly, I think this team's better off not missing the playoffs and getting a better draft pick. I think this team is much better served picking fifth or sixth and not making the playoffs than picking, you know, 15th or 16th and getting into the eighth seed. And then you go watch them get hammered by the Cavs for four games. You know, they started at 500, but that was always, to me, not sustainable. They were a bottom five defensive team in the league, even when they were at 500. And when you're that bad defensively, you're never going to win consistently in this league. And really, that's been the story since Jeff Van Gundy left back in 2001.
All right, you said something positive, so I'll say something positive. Well, they're not the Brooklyn Nets. How about that? There you go. Boom. I said it. All right?
Boy,
I mean, you know, they're not...
I don't watch the Nets a lot. I watched a couple games of theirs the last few weeks. They're bad. And, look, Billy King put them in a real bad spot, trading all those picks, Celtics. I think Kenny Atkinson's a good coach. I think he has them playing, you know, the right brand of basketball. They just don't have good enough players yet to win that way. So I think if you give that general manager and that coach time, they'll put a decent product together. But, boy, they're pretty much unwatchable for the next couple of years.
I don't know. If I was those guys at the arena there, I'd be throwing the Nets out and keeping the Islanders right now to wait on, you know, tell the Nets to go to, let them go to Long Island or Connecticut or you know, back to New Jersey or whatever, the way those guys are playing. But maybe you're right. We'll see. All right, man. John Schmoke has been our guest from WFAN in New York City, CBS Sports Radio there. John, I appreciate you, man, and it's been too long. I shouldn't have waited this long, but when this story came out, I figured I got to track you down.
Tom, absolutely. Whenever you need me, I'm always happy to come on with you.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks.
Thank you.
John Schmoke. There you go. Your NBA update. Charles Oakley. Crazy story. Just a crazy story. All right, we're going to put the phone lines open. That's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines. So if you want to jump in, go ahead and do it. 866-485-9867. By the way, with Trey Flowers, we were talking about Dante Hightower. Dante Hightower, you know, is a free agent. So you wonder just what kind of cake that guy is going to bring. he, you know, the team had picked up his option, his fifth year option, which is their option to do that. And now he's a free agent. So now if they want to keep him, they got to franchise him, which would be heavy coin. I don't think they're going to franchise Dante Hightower, but it's going to be interesting to see what kind of, you know, what kind of, offers he will be able to, generate. Remember, this is a team that let Jamie Collins, their best linebacker, go in the middle of the season. They just traded him to Cleveland, you know, and so it'll be interesting to see. Jamie Collins has now signed a 4-year deal with the, Browns, becoming the highest paid linebacker in, the NFL. But if you're a team that's got a lot of cap space, Titans, I mean, do you make a legit shot at Dante Hightower? I mean, this is a guy that's from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, about 35 minutes south of Nashville. You know how popular Dante Hightower would be as a Titan? You know, 35 minutes north of Alabama and 35 minutes south of Nashville? I mean, he's 26 years old. That'd be a popular deal. I'm just out there saying that. Let's get a break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Use them, please. 866-485-9867. 866-485-9867. It's the Tom Abraham Show. Back with more after this on 730-1039 Up.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Up. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
A lot of discussion surrounding the toughest basketball player in NBA history today with what happened to Charles Oakley at Madison Square Garden last night. Brings us back to the age of the NBA that we grew up in. You can talk about whether or not it was clean or fun or more entertaining, but the bottom line is guys like Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman, and of course Rick Mahorn were enjoyable to watch and maybe more entertaining to watch than some of the ridiculous scores that we see in today's NBA. And when you ask yourself the question, who's the toughest player in today's NBA? It's almost difficult to even come up with one, and they sure as hell don't compare to any from the late 80s and early 90s that we would bring up. So appreciate toughness when you see it in the NBA, if you can find it.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump. The Cube Show.
Listen, I'm not mad at any awards, but Cam Robinson receiving any best blocker award when he was outplayed by a guy on his own team at the end of the season is stupid. It just is. I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody on that. Any member of the Allen Trophy that wants to come on this show and debate that with me, let's ride. I'm in. Ding, ding. I'll be happy to step in the ring with you because it's dumb.
The Cube Show, morning 6 to 10.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home. Sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. and the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Brought to you by Hum by Verizon. Is your check engine light on? Hum by Verizon can tell you why, so you can fix small problems before they become big ones. Find out how to make your car smarter, safer, and more connected with Hum by Verizon. Visit hum.com today.
Windy and sharply colder today with a good supply of sunshine, the high 46. For tonight, a freeze likely, clear with a low at 27. Tomorrow, sunny, not as cold, the high 59. A warmer day Saturday, cloudy at times, a small chance of a shower, the high at 67. I'm James Span on Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
The Sports Flood. Saturdays never sounded so good. Saturday mornings 9 to 11 on The Ump.
Cheap perfume and painted faces. Fallen angels fill the places where I go.
Throwback Thursday in the doghouse. Randy Travis throwing some love towards him. They had a fundraiser for stroke awareness last night with him, or regarding him. And so we thought, well, you know, why not a little bit of Randy Travis in there? Now, you got some more upbeat stuff, don't you, with Randy Travis? I mean, where is like a whippoorwillow there? I love you forever and ever and all that kind of stuff, Smokey. I mean, what, you know?
It's
just
coming.
Like picking the slowest ones, or what? What are you doing?
I mean,
you just...
Hey. Me personally, okay. I like Promises. I think it's one of his best songs, in my opinion. So that's why I put it out there.
All right. I was just asking. I'm just wondering about that deal. Is that, you know, maybe there was something to it. You know what I mean? Maybe there was something that I was missing there, to that deal. So I'm not sure. All right. Phone lines are open 866-485-9867. That's your phone number. 866-485-9867. You can text 7329 TA show. Historically, in sports talk radio, this is a true fact. I've said this before to Smokey, in fact. Historically, Thursdays are the worst days of the week for call-ins. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's always been that way. I'm 19 years now. My 20th anniversary on the air will be September of 2017. Is that right? Or is this my 20th year? Let's see. I went on in, no, actually, long form. So what do you think, Smokey? What's my anniversary? When I first started doing games or when I first started doing a talk show? Because I was doing games in the fall of 97 is when I started doing games on TV.
Well, the thing with that was that you were doing reporting. You were reporting on the game, so your introduction.
No, I was actually doing color on TV then.
I was doing. But you were still doing games at that time. I mean, yeah. So that would be your anniversary for when you got into media. But yeah. When you got into the talk show world, that would be your talk show anniversary.
My fall of 97, I did high school football on the radio and college football on TV in fall of 97. But I only did a couple of games on TV that year. I was a fill-in. And then the next year, well, the next 3 years after that, I was the guy. I was the full-time guy. Empire Sports Network, which became a Fox Sports affiliate type thing, and NESN. Did some games on NESN in New England. But it was, I was doing a Saturday morning slap show, in the fall of 97. Smokey, does that count? I mean, I was doing it, you know, that Saturday morning slappy show that you do, everybody does, you know, when they get started in radio, you got to do a slappy show on Saturday mornings first.
That I would consider counting right there.
So if that was, all right, I'm going to talk to Grumpy. While I'm talking to Grumpy, that was fall of 97. So let's say fall of 97, September 97 is when I went on the air. So count, so the first year anniversary would be September 98. So count from there. I think that I'm at 19 years. Geez, I didn't miss my 20th anniversary, did I?
I would think 2017 minus 1998 equals 19.
1997, fall of 97.
This will be your 20th year.
So the 20th year should be starting this, so my 20th anniversary should be September, I think. I don't know. I'm not a math guy. Let me talk to Grumpy. Grumpy, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, I think you ought to do it where you just say, I've been on the radio for 20 years. You don't clarify whether it's play-by-play or talk show. That way.
So the first time I went on the radio, yeah, if it was, but I'm trying to figure out if it's, it'll be 21 years. Well, now it's 20 years, I guess. I don't know. It's a long damn time.
You,
I know. Do
you want to miss your 20th anniversary?
No, I want to have a big show. I want to do a big 20th anniversary show for my, you know, career.
Right. All I'm saying is if you don't want to miss your 20th anniversary, just work the numbers where it works for you, because I don't think anybody else kept up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that's probably
you do a great job. I don't mean anything bad by that, but you're the only one that knows when that 20th anniversary is. So put it whenever you want to. Put it on a three-day weekend.
Yeah, just trying to be, I'm just trying to be accurate. You know, I don't want to be, I don't want somebody to go back and, you know, and do the math and say, hey, wait a minute. It says in your bio on the radio station, the thing that you started in 97 and, you know, but anyway.
Help me out with this, man. I don't know, recruiters when they're assistant coaches and, you know, recruiting is so important now. I think sometimes you get a recruiter and then find something for him to do or, you know what I mean? I mean, I know that a lot of them are like really good offensive line coaches and wide receiver coaches, but recruiting is so important now. Do they sign year-to-year contracts like an athlete, or are they open-ended employment like most employers?
They are a coach that is a even a recruiting coordinator. He's just part of the staff. All right, so you may have 1 or 2 year deals. Most assistant coaches don't get 2 year deals. It's nice to get a 2 year deal if you're an assistant, but there are a lot of guys like the Fountain kid, right? From Auburn, right? He was the special teams coordinator, but he wasn't a great coach on the field, but he was very effective as a recruiter. He was a top 25 recruiter, but he was a guy that didn't really bring a lot to the table on the field. So they take him off the field and then you say, well, what's he going to do? You know, well, maybe he becomes some kind of a guy that's involved as a recruiter, but contracts are year to year.
Let me just say what I'm asking that question is because you had a guest on earlier this week, and it was almost like in passing or under his breath, he mentioned that most of the recruiters' contracts ran out the day after signing day. I think he was mentioning Damian Craig. So it always looks like the coaching staff did a recruiter wrong if they let them go, if the majority of their contracts are ending the day after the signing day. And I just wanted to get that in my head. You know, like if that's true, then from here on out for the rest of my life, when I hear that someone got let go the day after signing, I know that's just over time what the agents and the employees worked out to be best for both parties involved, you know?
Well, most coaching contracts end at the usually a coaching contract ends at the end of January. It may be the first, you know, and some of them, may, you know, because you're talking about in many cases, you know, it's February 1st signing date or whatever. Some might run through February, but that's why, I mean, the open season for coaches is December because everybody knows their contracts are running up at the end of the year. So you need to go ahead and get your deal lined up for the next year or wherever you're going to be going. Now, a lot of colleges do have their contracts on March 1st to March 1st. And, you know, so when you let a guy go at the end of recruiting season or whatever, you're going to pay him 3 weeks pay anyway. It's not like, you know, it's not like you let them go and then you don't get any money. So, you know, so that's why that happens a lot. Yeah.
You know, I'll let you go, man. But, you know, it is kind of funny how, changing the subject, when Sarkisian moved on to Atlanta, it was funny how some people were saying it didn't work out. It was a failed experiment. And it's like, come on, man. That's ridiculous. You know,
I mean, you don't know. I mean, you're trying to, you know, and yeah, I mean, Saban tried to do the best he could, hiring the guy that he thought would be the right guy. Somebody else wanted him. It's a more attractive job. How did Saban fail by giving that guy the job? I mean, he would have failed if he gave it to some guy that sucked for 2 years and then, you know, ended up leaving for someplace else. You know?
I guess I screwed up my point. My point was is the program is so healthy, you have to pick on stuff like that and try to make him into stuff
that
they're not.
Well, yeah. Skarbinski.
There's,
I mean,
really
we know
nothing else going on in Alabama that you could complain
right.
about.
Well, yeah. And he does have three spots to fill. I mean, you can't just keep changing your staff over and over again and keep hitting home runs. I mean, you know, at some point in time, yeah, that could come back to bite you. But it does seem to be that if you look at all of the guys that they have had come through there as coordinators since Saban has been there, for some reason, they just continue to have great continuity. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the top guy.
Hey, I'm going to hang up, man. Hit me in a text or on the air and tell me the name of the crappie guide. I'm going to take my dad crappie fishing, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate you. You know who just got, in fact, you know who just got into crappie? I'll give you his number. Derek Remitz, who was the Rookie of the Year on the Bassmaster Tour in 2007. I was talking to Derek the other day off the air, and he told me that he's now doing a lot of crappie trips. I mean, Derek Remitz on Gunnersville, crappie trip. I'll shoot you his digits. Make sure you tell him you heard about it from me, though. He's a good guy. Derek's good people. Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys that can recruit, I mean, like we were talking about with LSU, you got a guy that's the for lack of a better word, the general manager of the, you know, football operations. Well, he's involved in recruiting as well. But for the most part, when your guy who's a recruiting coordinator could be one, it's just be one of your coaches. You got your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, your special teams coordinator. My tight ends coach is my recruiting coordinator. You know, something along those lines. A lot of times that's the way that works out.
If I remember correctly, during the Pete Carroll days at SC, Lane Kiffin was a recruiting coordinator as well as wide receiver coach, then OC.
Yeah. Was he the OC by himself ever, though, or was he the co-OC?
I thought he was the co
with Sarkisian at one point.
No, he was the no-co when SC played Texas. I know that.
Really? Was he gone already, Sarkisian?
No, Sark was still there because Kiffin got hired by the Raiders, and Sark took the OC job then.
Hmm. I don't know what's going on with this Chip Kelly story. I mean, Jason Cole at a Bleacher Report, remember earlier in the week, said that Kelly had no interest in the Alabama job, and he was just focusing on getting another job in the NFL or an offensive coordinator job in the NFL. And then Adam Schefter said that Kelly was a candidate and that he spoke to Nick Saban a couple of times in the last 2 days. Schefter said, quote, "Now, whether or not it's enough to materialize into Nick Saban offering a job, Chip Kelly accepting the job, that's another issue. But I can tell you there at least have been some conversations that have been gone on over the last 24 to 48 hours between these two individuals." Close quote. From Adam Schefter. And then there's George Godsey. He seems to be in play. Godsey worked with Brent Key at UCF. That was the only time Godsey's worked as a coach in college football, was at UCF for a while. I think it was 08, 09, 2010, somewhere in there. The last 6 years, Godsey has been in the NFL. He's only 38 years old. So he went to the NFL as a 32-year-old. He was let go as the coordinator of the Houston Texans. Before that, he spent 3 years in New England with the Patriots. That's how he knew O'Brien from his time that they were together at the Patriots. Now, if you want a guy, well, you could say, wait a minute. Why do I want the guy that's been responsible for Brock Osweiler? Why do I want the guy that's been at the Texans the last 3 years? They've been the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. Well, okay, maybe. I mean, you might have something legitimate there. But this is a guy that's got a history of working with quarterbacks. And when you look at, you know, Nick Saban's relationship with Bill Belichick and what Belichick might do in terms of, you know, throwing some love towards Godsey, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that he's the guy that ends up getting that gig. Speaking of Belichick, by the way, and the Patriots. So now LeGarrette Blount says that he's not going to the White House. I don't feel welcome in that house. I'll leave it at that. These guys. Why? Why don't you feel welcome in that house? Was good enough for Jim Brown and Ray Lewis. So why don't you feel welcome in that house? I'll say it again. Sometimes it's better to leave your mouth shut and leave doubt to your ignorance than to open your mouth and leave no doubt at all. What statement are you making? Look, I think the whole thing is stupid. I said that. I did a dog bites on that. It's so dumb for any. Did I do a dog bites on that? Smokey, did I do a dog bites on? I'm going to have to start writing down what I talked about in dog bites so I don't repeat it. I'm going to do another dog bites about the same thing. What was today's about?
Today's?
Yeah, what was the one that ran today?
Oh.
I recorded yesterday. I oh, yeah, see? You don't even listen to the station.
If, no. If the season ended today was 2 days ago, then.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. You did do it on.
I did it on this.
Yeah, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday you did it on this one.
Are you sure if the season ended today isn't the one that ran today? I think I did it yesterday. No?
Gosh. I don't understand. I'm sure if the season ended today is going to rain today. But I could search the web for it.
That's my phone.
What?
It just started talking to me. Did I say something that sounded like Siri? Because all of a sudden my phone just started talking to me.
I guess it heard if the season ended today and then it decided to click on.
It was like I asked it something. Did I say, Siri, what happens if the season ends today? I didn't say that. Why did it start talking? It just starts talking out of the blue. Why are you talking to me? Yeah, you. Why are you talking to me?
You talking to me?
Yes, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you talking to me?
Me talking to you?
No.
Is that what you think?
No, I'm talking to my phone. I'm talking to Siri.
Oh, and yes, your dog bite today was the Dante Hightower and not going to the White House.
Oh, okay. So as I said today in dog bites, I think it's stupid. But for guys not, you know, I mean, what is your message? Why wouldn't you be open-minded? Why wouldn't you try and go and you know, forge some common ground with the president? So the way, you know, to me, the thing would be to go to shake the man's hand and say, you know, open up that moment that you have there with him to them, when then maybe later on you can share with people what your experience was with that guy. Ray Lewis and Jim Brown went in there looking for a fight. P. Diddy, John Legend, who are the other guys that went in there? There are a lot of African, American entertainers and athletes that went in and spent some time with Donald Trump and came out with a different attitude. Jim Brown said, I love the guy. I mean, you don't know. Go in there and see what he really has to say. And then you might come out and say, you know what? I was being small-minded. By not going, look, if you tell me I'm not going because I got to work out, you know, Tom Brady had to work out, he had to go to the Apple store that day. If you tell me that, oh, whatever. If you tell me you don't want to go, it's just because you think it's a waste of money, of taxpayer money, and, you know, whatever. But by saying, and then you got Darren Gant at Pro Football Talk. He writes, quote, as long as we're calling the roll, every Patriots player who does an interview this offseason will be asked if he's going. And as the bright line between political stances are drawn, it could be more complicated for Brady and Belichick to keep everyone on the same page, close quote. Oh, so in other words, you're just trying to create problems. So in other words, you're going to ask a bunch of athletes, and where is it written that because you could throw a ball and catch a ball, that you got any kind of sense in your head to understand anything that's going on in a political nature or a social nature or any nature? When did this happen that all of a sudden, just because you can do, that's, you know, that's like saying my neighbor is a real smart dude. He's a politician. My next door neighbor is a politician. He's a very smart guy, okay? He doesn't know if a baseball is wound or blown up. I don't go over there and ask him questions about, hey, you know, what do you think about the fact that, you know, there hasn't been a guy that played baseball in the last 50 years that's in the top 25 in batting average. What do you think about that? He don't know which end of the bat to grab, but he's a very, very bright guy, politically savvy. So why do we think some athlete, and that their opinion is worth a flip about politics? And not to mention, and in most cases, if these guys had, we're thinking about it, they don't understand the plight of the inner city African American. They're ma- making $8, $9, $10, $15 million a year. The best thing that could happen to them is Donald Trump cutting their taxes back to 17% across the board on a flat tax. I'll never forget the day that I was sitting next to Albert Hainsworth. We're doing radio live. We're doing a Titans Players show. Albert Hainsworth's on the show. And Barack Obama was running against John McCain. Or Dole. He was running against Dole. Who was the one he ran against first? Dole. He was running against Dole. McCain. He was running against McCain. And Albert Hainsworth, I said to Albert Hainsworth about, you know, the guys in the locker room and the upcoming election and, you know, the first African-American running for president, Barack Obama and all this stuff. And Albert Hainsworth said to me, as straight can be, on the air live, he says, if those guys in the locker room had a brain, they'd be voting for McCain. If they want to keep their money, they wouldn't vote for Obama. That's what he said. So, you know. You might want to be smart about what you're doing and what you're saying. That's all I'm saying. And really, who cares what they think? Now, we'll come back one more after this. It's a Tom Abraham show. Andy in Athens is up next. Andy, hang in there, brother. We'll get you right after this. 730-1039, The Ump.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Just another night in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks blow a fourth quarter lead. Carmelo Anthony is brushing off another Twitter attack from the team president. And Charles Oakley is forcibly removed from the premises. The team will have you believe that Oak was out of control and that he, quote, needs help. Isn't that rich? The Knicks deciding that somebody else needs help. Well, this is a big Charles Oakley house. I can't condone him putting his hands on security. However, he does tell a story that he bought his own ticket, was minding his own business, and was approached by security who said, what are you doing here and you need to leave? There's nothing scarier than hearing Charles Oakley reportedly tell a fan seated nearby, hold my watch. Hold my watch from Charles Oakley is the ultimate, it's time to go. Nobody wins and nobody looks worse than the New York Knicks right now. I'm Jim Rome. Hey, Jim Rome here for O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is an automotive jungle out there. In the jungle, only the strong survive. Sometimes you need to go fast. Sometimes you need to stop fast. Stopping fast is critical to your safety. Do you need new brakes? Find the brake parts that you need at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Brands you can trust, like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner ThermoQuiet. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help you navigate the automotive jungle. Guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
How's that kitchen remodel coming along?
I haven't found a reliable contractor and have no idea where to start.
What about HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor. They match you to pre-screened and top-rated pros for any kind of home project. You can even check pricing and book appointments online.
What's the catch?
No catch. HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Really? I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flow.
You're descending down a staircase. On each step is another discount. Safe driver, multi-car, paperless. At the bottom of the staircase is a man selling cupcakes. You buy a cupcake with the money you saved because you really like cupcakes.
You're getting deeper and deeper into saving money with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Attention all veterans, transitioning military service members, and military spouses. Do you need to learn about transitioning from the military to civilian life? Are you seeking a new career? Would you like to meet top companies ready to hire? Do you need a resume review or want to learn about benefits and health care from VA experts? Let American Freedom Foundation, in association with still-serving veterans, be your trusted resource to answer those questions at their Warriors to the Workforce Huntsville Career Hiring and Training Workshop on Tuesday, March 14th at the Von Braun Center in conjunction with the 2017 AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Attendance is free for veterans, transitioning military service members, and military spouses. Register now for the Warriors to the Workforce Hiring and Training Workshops on Tuesday, March 14th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Von Braun Center. Register today at warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net.
All day long, umpsports.com.
You've been too gone for too long. It's too late to come back now. It's been so long since you walked out my door.
Welcome back on a Throwback Thursday to Doghouse.
An old song nobody sings anymore.
Randy Travis Day.
I got a new love and she's a true love.
He's alive. Don't get nervous. He's alive. It's just he's, you know, he's recovering from the stroke that he had 3 years ago. He damn near died 3 years ago when he had that stroke. So phone lines are open, 866-485-9867. Let's go to the lines. Andy is in Athens. Andy, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in about the whole Dante Hightower and people not going to see the president. Mm-hmm. I kind of see both sides. And, you know, I think for the athletes that are not going, I understand their side, and I understand the other side. On the one side, it's an honor and a privilege, you know, to be invited to the White House. And like you said, it can open some dialogue and discussion.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you know, especially African-American, if you're associated with Donald Trump, you know, your own community, you're going to face a backlash. Steve Harvey visited Donald Trump a few weeks ago, and there were members of the NAACP that was calling for a boycott of his show.
Yeah.
So a lot of these African-American athletes, you know, they feel pressured either from their family or the members of their community that if you have anything to do with Donald Trump, that you're some sort of racist. Let me give you a great example. I have a teacher friend who for the last three or four presidents has decorated part of her wall in honor of who the current president is. She mm-hmm. teaches history. Well, when Donald Trump won, I went in her class about a week or two ago, and I asked her, I said, where is the Donald Trump pictures and stuff like that? She said that she couldn't put it up on her wall, even though he was president, because she's got Muslim students in her class. She's got lots of African-Americans in her class. Parents would protest, and the principal advised her not to do it. So it's one of those things where...
Is she in Alabama?
She's in an Alabama public school.
Yeah, somebody ought to tell her. I mean, did you mention her that 75% of the voters in Alabama voted for that man to be president? And that, yes, there are Muslims and, yes, there are African-Americans. But at the end of the day, the same electorate that elected Barack Obama and Bush and Reagan and all the rest, Clinton, also voted this man in president. And we're not in Los Angeles and we're not in New York City. We're in the deep South and they voted for him. So, you know, you're offending more people by not honoring the president than you are worrying about a couple of Muslim kids in this class. And if those Muslim kids love this country and they're in this class and in that to learn about this country and they're Americans and they got nothing to worry about. It's only people who want to come over here and do harm to us that are, so, you know, it's the same. It's that immigration question. The difference between illegal immigrants and legal immigrants.
I totally agree with you. And she actually voted for Trump herself.
Yeah.
Like,
well, she's spineless then.
Things where, yeah, you know, if you're for the president, but if you're associated with the president, and in the athlete's case, if you go visit the president, you're almost presumed by members of your own community or ethnic group as being some sort of racist, which may or may not even be the case. Thanks, Tom.
All right, man. Appreciate you. That's small-minded. That's small-minded. And it's, and a lot of that has to do with the narrative that is being directed by our media. I mean, reality, what the realities are is that there are a lot of people around the world that are applauding, for example, the new immigration plan, and wish they had that in their country. Nobody wants to talk about that. Crazy stuff. All I know is that if I made several million dollars a year, I would be going and kissing the man's ring and begging him for that 17% flat tax to get that sucker done. All right, we'll be back. Matt Scalise's next.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The UMP.
Shop the Winter Rethink Kitchen and Bath event for Home Depot exclusives, like the Kohler Rubicon Center Set Faucet. Now at a new, lower price, just $79. It's brushed nickel finish and Art Deco style, complement any decor. Contemporary, classic, yours. No one offers more Kohler for your kitchen and bath than the Home Depot. And right now, the Kohler Rubicon Faucet is just $79. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. Valid through March 9th.
This Valentine's Day, love is giving, and Pandora Jewelry creates pieces that are as special as the women you're giving them to. From tiny hearts to sparkling arrows, each gift set was inspired by love and hand-finished with sterling silver. Celebrate love this Valentine's Day and shop new Pandora Jewelry gift sets. Gift sets available while supplies last. Available at participating retailers. No substitutions.
Shop the new Valentine's Day gift sets at the Shops at Bridge Street Pandora store today.
Madison RV Supercenter is having their annual RV show and sale February 13th through the 18th with interest rates way down and discounts way up. Now is the perfect time to choose your new RV. With the largest selection of latest models in the area, there's no need to go anywhere else but Madison RV Supercenter. Free parking, free admission, free food. Madison RV Supercenter is the only place to get your new RV, and the annual RV show and sale is the right time to buy. Don't miss this event. Madison RV Supercenter annual RV show and sale.
The Endeavor Elementary School PTA is sponsoring the third annual Hug a Cub 5K on Saturday, February 11th, benefiting the students at Endeavor Elementary School in Harvest. The 5K run begins at 8 a.m. and a free fun run will follow about 9:15. Runners and walkers of all levels and speeds are welcome, and children and their families are encouraged to participate in the event as well. All registration forms can be found at hugacub5k.bestwd.com. Online registration is at active.com.
Think your child might have swallowed the wrong medication, gotten into your household products, had a reaction to a bite or a sting? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number. Save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We will never fully understand what we've asked of our military service members or their families, asking them to put themselves in harm's way, to endure it all. But we do understand that it's our turn, our duty, to keep them secure for the rest of their lives. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs help our most severely ill or injured veterans live independently, at no cost, for life, so that they might stand at ease. Join us at findwwp.org.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is bringing hope to the families whose lives have been turned upside down by a cancer they had never heard of until diagnosis. Please join us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, go to curesarcoma.org.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
He has an overbite that makes him look like a cartoon character, a slightly crooked eye, and an uncommonly wrinkly neck. In the right light, he can look a little like a garden gnome. And he'll wear a bow tie just because. Sure, you might call him a little quirky. But that's exactly what makes him so perfect. Tuna is a 3-year-old Chihuahua Dachshund mix with more than 700,000 followers on Instagram. And it all started because he was adopted. You can't buy a best friend like Tuna, but you can adopt one. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP, WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Now.